Game on.
Tennis.
Now you are very welcome back to Game On as we chat tennis and Stephen Higgins from the Cross Court View. To give you your proper title, Stephen. Live from Wimbledon at the moment, because Wimbledon is ongoing at pace. So, Stephen, bring us up to date. What has been happening if we start with centre court?
Yeah, well, it's not a day to remember for Casper Ruud, the Roland Garros finalist, the three-time Grand Slam finalist. He shockingly lost to Liam Brody, one of the home favourites here, but a home favourite who's ranked 142 in the world. So Casper just never got to grips with the grass. He doesn't really enjoy playing on the surface. He's never made the third round before at Wimbledon. And Brody took full advantage of that, plus the home crowd. So eventually Casper actually went out in five sets. The final set was 6-love. So a shocking day for him, really.
Okay, well, some shocks on centre court, and hopefully more to come, because it has been a gripping tournament so far. Court number one, Stephen, what's been going down?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I should mention that there's a great contest at the moment on centre between Elise Cornet and Elena Rybakina, the defending champion. There was a little bit of a doubt about Rybakina coming into the tournament. She had a virus from Roland Garros and made her skip the warm-up events, but she seemed to settle into her first match after losing the first set and has looked pretty good so far. People may know Elise Cornet. She's a really tricky player that you don't want to face in a draw. She knocked Iga Swiatek out of Wimbledon last year, and she knocked Serena Williams out of Wimbledon a few years ago back in the day. So this is now a really good clash at the moment, 5-all in the second set after Rybakina took the first, and it's at deuce. In terms of court number one, Alexander Zverev, who is kind of finally back up to full speed after his terrible injury last year at Roland Garros when he lost Nadal, when he had a really good chance to beat the Spaniard. He won in three sets, and it was a great match second up. Dana Vekic, the Croatian, beat Sloane Stephens, the former US Open champion, in a really good three-set match.
Okay, apologies. I'm getting carried away. There's so much ongoing. I was skipping away from court number one instead of centre court. So I won't go specific then. I'll leave it open-ended for you. What's happening elsewhere today?
Yeah, there's been some good clashes. Usually in the first couple of rounds, obviously players are seeded, so they can tend to be blowout matches. You'll have to go down the rankings to get some good ties. But there's been a few good three-setters or four-setters or five-setters today. So one interesting storyline is Alina Svitolina, the Ukrainian, who's just returned from pregnancy, and she's an outspoken, obviously, advocate for her country. She beat Elise Mertens, who's always very good at Grand Slams, in three sets. So she's having a storming return to tennis after having a child. She made the quarterfinals of Roland Garros. Andrei Rublev is through. There is a fantastic tie in prospect after Stan Wawrinka, the three-time major winner, at the age of 38, is now into the third round and will play Novak Djokovic tomorrow, which should be an absolute bumper match. While the record is very much in the favour of Novak Djokovic, Stan Wawrinka has beaten Djokovic at all of the other Grand Slams, so he'll be hoping to dip into some of that old magic.
Ooh, might we see an upset?
It seems very unlikely, because Djokovic is just playing so well. Of course, he has won the first two majors of the year. He's trying to yet again chase the calendar Grand Slam. There's no one in the draw who has anywhere near the experience, apart from Andy Murray, of playing well at centre court, playing well on grass, including Stan Wawrinka. I would expect Djokovic to just be too solid, and Stan will throw the kitchen sink and everything else in the house at the serve, and he'll make a lot of errors eventually. He may steal a set if he has a really inspired run, but I just expect Djokovic to just be too solid.
Come on, you've broke my heart there. There's life in the old dog yet. We're all rooting for Stan now, so we are. Listen, Stephen, I cannot let a tennis chat go between myself and yourself without mentioning Carlos Alcaraz in some shape or form. To the casual listener to our conversations here, I'm just shocked that he hasn't been winning everything.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing his best. I think the French Open was a sad face to reality, I guess, that there was so much hype, and I fell for it a bit as well. Now, Alcaraz, I've no doubt about Alcaraz's future, and his achievements are actually absolutely extraordinary, particularly at his age. But coming in against Djokovic, I probably got a bit caught up in the hype that maybe he'll be the guy who'll beat Djokovic at Roland Garros, when Djokovic is in full flow. But the problem those guys always face, as we've seen so many times over the years with Thiem and Casper Ruud and Tsitsipas and Medvedev, et cetera, is you never just rock up the first time you play these guys and beat them in a Grand Slam. You have to take your punishment. So for Alcaraz, unfortunately, after having a brilliant second set at Roland Garros, he had the famous cramps that we've heard about out of nerves. Now, in the time since, he won his first grass court title at Queens, which is a great boon to his chances here. So he's already at 21, a title on all the surfaces that they play on the tour. He's had a handy enough entry to this. The only thing about Carlos Alcaraz is, while Novak Djokovic has a very good draw, Carlos Alcaraz has the exact opposite. So there is a good chance that he will have to get through Alexander Zverev, a former major finalist, Holger Rune, who's like the really phenomenal other young player at the moment, and Daniel Medvedev / Andy Murray to just even get to the final. And that's a big ask for someone who's never really done a lot at grass yet.
Okay.
Or on grass.
Before we talk about the women's side of the draw, I suppose one good thing going into the latter stages is the fact that I suppose all the men's favourites are still in place.
Well, it's the good and the bad. I mean, this is kind of the worst tournament in terms of drama on the men's side, because only four guys have won this tournament going back. You have to go back to Leighton Hewitt. Like, since Roger Federer won in 2003, those four guys you've probably heard about are the only people who actually win at Wimbledon. And unfortunately, even when you subtract one or two of them or three, the other one who's left is still going to win it. So just for an example, Carlos Alcaraz went into the tournament with 9 wins in his life on grass at a pro level. Novak Djokovic had 100 more than that. So, you know, if you're getting to the point where they'll play each other in the final, the unbelievable difference in experience gap will just count for too much. I mean, even for Djokovic for the rest of the tournament, only Jannik Sinner, the really talented Italian, might pick a few holes in them, but you still would have no real confidence that anyone's really going to stop him getting to the final unless there's an injury or default or an act of nature / God.
Or when Stan Wawrinka beats Djokovic tomorrow, and you know.
Oh yeah, which would really settle the drama right here, anyway. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, talk to me about the women's side of the draw, because the WTA's terrific trio are all still there.
Yeah, so basically 3 women have started to separate themselves from the tour as of this year. So Iga Świątek, who's clearly the world number one of last year, had an incredible winning streak. She is still the world number one, but she has been joined pretty much at the top, side by side, by Aryna Sabalenka, the Australian Open champion, and the defending Wimbledon champion, Elena Rybakina. So there was a little bit of doubt about their superiority coming into this because, as I said before, Rybakina had that virus from Roland Garros. Świątek, although she was a junior champion at Wimbledon, hasn't been that hot as a senior on the grass. So this is not her most dominant surface by any means. Then Sabalenka had a few little issues with her serve at Roland Garros, but still nothing that you'd be too concerned about. But now, 4 days into the tournament, I watched Świątek yesterday on center court. She looks incredibly smooth, very confident. She made the semi-final of a grass court tournament last on the way into the tournament. And she looks really good on grass. She looks very comfortable. Obviously, the defensive skills, the consistency, the aggression. What was actually great to see is a lot of fans over here would never really have seen her probably live because she hasn't really had a lot of success. And to hear the oohs and the ahs and the gasps as she slams forehands into the corner and does all the magic that she's been doing around the tour, it's great to see. Like, there's a new star being born as people get used to her. So I would still expect those three to have the big say in what happens to the tournament. But of course, as we well know, you can always have a lot of surprises in the best of 3 event.
Absolutely. There have been a couple of early losses, Coco Gauff among them. But let us wrap up our conversation with off-field matters, Stephen, because there's been a few issues with queuing and there has been a few protests ongoing with Just Stop Oil.
Yeah, and they are related. So on Monday, the Wimbledon organisers brought in enhanced security protocols because they're very afraid, like all the other sporting events this summer, of the Just Stop Oil protesters. So obviously we've seen the various protests at the Crucible when they sprayed the orange paint along the table, and then we had the Ashes and et cetera, et cetera. So unfortunately, with the queue on the first day, and I know this because I was victim to it, it took an extortionate amount of time to actually get in. I ended up having to give up, having been there for about 4 or 5 hours and not moving. There was terrible stories of people who would come very early in the night or in the morning before, say 2 or 3 in the morning, and were struggling to get in for play at 11 or 1 o'clock. Like, it was really awful stuff. Things improved on the Tuesday, but then, of course, the whole day was rained out. But it is an anachronism, I think, at this point, the queue. I think they expect too much. It's one of these things where, of course, people love the tradition of Wimbledon, and that's all great when it's strawberries and cream and, you know, various the Pims and et cetera, and all the kind of nice beverages and food. But in terms of the queue, you're asking, particularly for people who are traveling over, you're asking people to stand in a field for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, possibly in the heat, very likely in the rain. And you're just thinking, like, in the modern era where it's so much time to take away from someone, is that really feasible? Like, is that really, you know, what spectators should be doing coming over?
Absolutely. That is a very valid point. It's not all strawberries and Pims in Wimbledon. Stephen Higgins, I hope there are more strawberries and Pims coming your way. I'm sure we'll be checking in throughout the course of the tournament. Thank you, as always, for taking the call.